Yo, 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 America, y'all know what time it is.
Here we go, Rob.
Bring it back.
Fourth for the 12th man. Y'all know what time it is.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Yeah, the time is now. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today is May 7th, and as we posted, finally, draft day is upon us tomorrow. We're so excited about that. Once again, you are Talking Sports 12th Man. I'm Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. After much travel, we are here. We are arrived. We're ready to get this party started. I always got to check in with my co-host, Rob Ford. How are you doing on this May 7th day, sir?
Man, you know, feeling excited, just like I'm sure you are. You know, we got a lot going on in the sports world right now. And let's get to it.
I love it. Let's get to it. As always, we like to throw out numbers. If you want to call in, share us your thoughts. We have a lot of topics to discuss. The number to call into the show if you want to give us some feedback, it is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We invite you to do that because that's what we do. We're also available via Facebook. If you want to check us out on Facebook, go to facebook.com/12manSports, or if you put in Talking Sports with 12th Man in the search field, you will find us. And finally, we are also in the Twitter world. If you go to @12, THMANSports, you will find us in that regard. Rob, man, what a great night. I do want to save our NFL draft coverage just a little bit too, but I know we had to talk about a lot of things. I want to kind of talk about some NBA stuff real quick to kind of get that out the way. I will talk about that record deal with the Seattle Seahawks and Richard Sherman too, but I do want to give a quick update as far as the playoffs. If you don't mind, Rob, Indiana has come back. They've actually tied up the series with the Wizards on a hard-fought game. Roy Hibbert comes alive. I think he scores like 28 points. Not sure what happened with that, but great update by him. And also, if you didn't know, Mark Jackson got fired. We were going to report this yesterday. And the word is that Steve Kerr is kind of the lead candidate. But let's talk about the playoff updates. Rob, you want to talk about anything as well as Andrew Bynum as well, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we're in the middle of game two of the Clippers and the Thunder. Pretty exciting game as well. I think the Thunder has a 5-point lead here at the half, 61-56. Pretty back and forth game. Entertaining game, high scoring game as well. Kevin Durant got off to a very quick start tonight on the night where he was able to present MVP? His MVP trophy to the audience there in Oklahoma City. Well-deserving MVP trophy this season for Kevin Durant. So it should be an interesting game. I think we're going to have a heck of a series here for OKC and the Clippers. And I think initially I was more so leaning toward OKC winning this series. But I'm a little concerned. I don't know if OKC can handle the depth of the Clippers. And that could be a little bit of a concern for the Clippers. But I still think this is going to be an exciting series. That would definitely go 6 or 7 games here. Earlier tonight, we saw the Pacers tie up the series with the Wizards 1-1. I still like the Wizards in this series. I really do. And I think they're slowly but surely you're going to have to put John Wall and Bradley Beal as the best backcourt in the NBA. And I think you have to put them right up there with Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson of Golden State. Is having one of the best backcourts in the league at the moment. And so this Wizards team, I like them in this series. Even though Indiana won tonight, tied it up at 1, I still think the Wizards will pull this series out. Then we look at the games from last night. Spurs with a convincing win over the Trailblazers. I still think the Blazers can make this series somewhat competitive, but I do like the Spurs to win it in 6. And then we look at the Heat with a big win over the Brooklyn Nets. And I still like the Heat to win this one in about six as well. I think Brooklyn will still make the series somewhat competitive, but I think Miami in the end will win in about five or six games in this series.
Yeah, I just want to comment real quick whenever you're talking about the Wizards, and you did make a good case for Golden State. The Washington Wizards, they're just a little bit different. You know, obviously you have some great shooters with Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. Kind of a different backcourt, Rob, with Washington, because you got John Wall is kind of a match. He's a nightmare matchup wise. He's, you know, 6'3", maybe 6'4", if I'm not mistaken. Point guard, just quickness, really quick, able to get to the rim. Bradley Beal is more, Rob, of your traditional two guard. 6'5", 6'6", kind of built, you know, just a young player, but just explosive already. So that backcourt, kind of different from the Clippers, from the Warriors, because, you know, Klay Thompson, you know, he's, you know, more of a pure shooter like Stephen Curry, but, you know, Bradley Beal, John Wall can do a little bit of everything too. So just wanted to kind of highlight that, just a little different as far as the size, as far as that too. And you mentioned it as well. As far as both the games, I agree with you. As far as, you know, with Miami pulling it out, the Spurs, Tony Parker kind of showing Damian Lillard what's really going on, putting it to him. I think he scored like 33 points, you know. And Damian kind of came back too, so he's still a young fella. So hopefully he'll kind of get schooled by Tony and kind of realize you have to earn your stripes in the league, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. Damian Lillard is one of the best young guards in the league. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that clutch three-pointer he hit in Game 6 to eliminate the Rockets was unreal. The kind of heart that he displayed. It's just his first time in the playoffs, second-year player. What a tremendous prospect, and what a tremendous future he has, as well as the Portland Trailblazers here. And eventually this Spurs team is going to get old on us. We've been saying it probably for about 8 years now. But at some point, the Spurs will get old, and teams like Portland and some other teams are going to be competing for this Western Conference crown.
I think that's a case where just the experience, Rob, because I remember I used to play basketball with my dad, and, you know, we thought we had, you know, we were more talented, we had more energy, but they just knew basketball knowledge on us. So they're getting by. And they're making it tough for teams too. So we'll keep an eye on them. Like you said, it doesn't seem like they're slowing down. They just keep getting better. And, you know, they're going to always be a challenge, you know, always in the playoffs. So that's great coaching and good team basketball.
Yeah, that's the thing you have to appreciate about the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, I tell this to people all the time, you don't have to like them, but if you're a basketball purist, you got to like the way they play the game. They play fundamental sound basketball. They play team basketball. They play unselfish basketball. And that's the thing that you have to appreciate. And I think a lot of that, you know, goes to Greg Popovich and his coaching ability and getting the right personnel that puts the team before the individual. And that's the type of team that they have. And, you know, when you play collectively in any sport that's a team sport, you're going to be tough to beat.
It seems like I was kind of talking to some people out in L.A., and in California, mind you, and they think that the firing of Mark Jackson was a little premature, and they think because the fact is, you know, I don't know if this is a Jedi mind trick by the Jedi Master and Phil Jackson talking about Steve Kerr, and, you know, the reason why the Warriors fired Mark Jackson is because they were on the heels of this hot young coaching candidate in Steve Kerr. I don't know if this is true or not, but it seems like there's where there's smoke, there's fire. Could this possibly lead the way, Rob, for Mark Jackson to go back to the Knicks? If the Warriors do make an offer and Steve accepts, you know, what's the deal with Roy Williams being a possibility? I want to let you kind of comment on this particular thing for Steve Kerr, if you will.
Well, no offense to Steve Kerr, but I don't understand how all of a sudden he's a hot coaching commodity when he's never coached. In the NBA, you know, I know he was a pretty decent executive with the Phoenix Suns for a small period
of
time.
Doc Rivers.
It's kind of mind-boggling to me still that now all of a sudden Steve Kerr is a favorite for the New York Knicks, Golden State Warriors, and, you know, as quiet as it kept, the Lakers are in that mix as well with Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr has his choice of the New York Knickerbockers, Los Angeles Lakers, and the Golden State Warriors. And from my understanding from our sources, that we believe he's going to make a decision by this Friday and out of those three teams. I still believe he winds up with the Knicks, but with Golden State being his second choice, I don't think he's going to go to Los Angeles to be with the Lakers at all. I think, even though all three teams are recruiting him, I think he's going to come down to the Knicks and Golden State, with the Knicks slightly winning out because of his relationship with Phil Jackson.
That's interesting. I know he's a California guy. You would think that he would lead more towards the Warriors. They may have a better team, Rob. They were just in the playoffs, maybe some slight tweaking. So that would be pretty surprising to me, Rob, if he did choose the Knicks. But, I don't know if that's something you're hearing from your sources or what.
Well, I just think in the end it's going to come down to his relationship with Phil Jackson. And even though he's got a good relationship with the owners there in Golden State and being a California guy, and he's probably got the best chance of winning, as you mentioned, with Golden State. But, hey, New York is the basketball mecca. And if you get an opportunity to win at a place like that, it's going to be a lot of pressure to go to New York, of course. But I think in the end, I don't think he's going to be able to tell Phil Jackson in the end. And then we get back to the Lakers. You mentioned Roy Williams. The Lakers are trying to make a splash in this coaching search here. They've got Roy Williams on the list. They've got Kevin Ollie. They still would like to talk to John Calipari. I mean, they've got some hot college coaches on the list there. I mean, they've got a long list of candidates. I believe they're going to still talk to Byron Scott. Steve Kerr is their number one choice and everybody else's number one choice. But these are some names they're going to fall back on that they don't believe Steve Kerr is going to accept the Lakers' offer.
What do you think happens to Mark Jackson? Was that a surprising move in Golden State firing him?
Well, I'll just say this. It wasn't surprising because of, his relationship with the ownership there in Golden State was kind of dwindling, falling apart. I think the ownership didn't appreciate him still living in Los Angeles instead of living in the Bay Area. And so there was some other conflicts as well. There was even some talk about, they were concerned about his religious beliefs and things of that nature, which shouldn't have anything to do with his job performance. I'll just say, in my personal opinion, from the outside looking in, I think the firing was unjustified. When you look how far he's taken that team in a matter of 3 years, I mean, the basketball team won 51 games this year. I think just looking at it outside, looking in, looked like he did a phenomenal job. But based on the rumors you were hearing, it's not surprising.
Wow.
Not surprising.
Very interesting.
I think not justified either.
Yeah. Interesting. Like I said, you never know. I just think it was a poor timing. A lot of times you're worse off whenever you make that move. Look at the Lakers. They fired Mike Brown unjustified, and they had to scramble to get to Mike D'Antoni. That wasn't a good move for them either. So, we'll keep moving as always. So, interessant. I do want to talk briefly about Andrew Bynum. He's going to miss the rest of the playoffs. And I think a promising career, Rob, I think he may be done in the NBA because he's no longer with the Pacers.
Yeah, he's still having knee issues here, and Larry Bird said it best today, that their doctors and team doctors have done everything that they could to try to help him with his ailments and things of that nature. It just didn't work out. They wished Andrew Bynum the best. And this was one of the things that, NBA teams had concerns even when he came straight out of high school. Obviously the talent was there where he could have been a number one pick. The Lakers took him at number 10. But they were still concerned about his body and his knees being able to held up for a long NBA career. And you can kind of see that now. Unfortunately, his NBA career may be cut short due to the health of his knees. And you don't want to say it be the end. You wish him nothing but the best, and hopefully they'll find a way to help him recover for it. He won't be with the Pacers for the rest of the season.
Gotcha. Love it, love it, love it. We're halfway in the show, about 15 minutes left, and this is a great time for me because this gives us the rest of the show as well as the OT portion to talk strictly about the NFL. If you haven't got enough of this, oh yeah, we're gonna pile on as well. Maybe like be the man. Let's talk about that. But once again, call on the show. We're gonna talk the numbers once again. 424-243-9519. A lot of shout outs to everyone that's listening too. And I was just in South Carolina too, Rob. So let's talk about this. First and foremost, I do want to talk about your Saints. As the NFL Players Association, they filed a grievance on behalf of Jimmy Graham. He wants to be recognized as a wide receiver versus a tight end. What do you think about this real quick, Rob? And we'll talk about Richard Sherman and become the highest, richest quarterback in the NFL.
Well, yeah, the situation with Jimmy Graham is not a surprise here. It has been rumored for a few months. In the end, sometime between now and July 15th, the Saints and Jimmy Graham is going to work out a contract where he's going to be the highest paid tight end in NFL history, and as well as he probably will be somewhere in the top five paid, even if he was a wide receiver, he's probably going to somehow be somewhere ranked in the top five wide receivers in the NFL today. But he'll be listed as definitely the number one tight end in NFL history when his contract is all said and done. So it's just the ploy is basically just for his franchise number as a tight end. Your franchise number is $7 million. As a wide receiver is $11 million. So in the event he has to play under a 1 year contract, which, you know, based on what we're hearing, it's probably not going to happen anyway. He should have his long term deal by July 15th. So it's going to be interesting.
Richard Sherman ain't a deal, Rob. Record deal, not a record contract deal, but a record deal. 4 year, $57.4 million contract, makes him the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. This includes $40 million in guaranteed money. He's making, $14 million a year on average salary, exceeding the $12 million that Darrelle Revis is making. Is this justified, Rob? Is he the best corner in the NFL? And what do you think about this? How does this affect Seattle and their chances of repeating next year as well?
Well, I mean, in my personal opinion, I definitely think he's the best cornerback in the game. I think he's passed Darrelle Revis 2 years ago when Revis started having the injuries. He's physical. He's got an attitude about him. He's confident. And, you can definitely see on the field that he's clearly the best corner in the game. So I would say it's deservingly so. And I don't think this affects Seattle that much as far as having a chance to repeat. I think they'll be a contender. I think they'll be right there with the 49ers again in the NFC West, competing for that division and competing for the conference crown again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things, Rob, where, he's had an interesting journey. I don't know if you get a chance to read Monday Morning Quarterback for Peter King, just one of the great websites that I always love to go to kind of get some feedback. He wrote a great article with talking about everything that's been going on with DeSean Jackson, kind of how they grew up together, and just very different guy, Rob. I was very impressed with this because, unfortunately, he gets the bad label of being called a thug, and people don't really know him. And he grew up in a certain area. He's trying to help people. And this is great because he actually still stays in California in that neighborhood, and he's trying to prevent it, do a lot of renovating, helping with kids. And this is a good story how it comes back around. I know he said some controversial comments after the Seattle beat 49ers, but it was just great how Seattle recognized this. They locked him up, and, hopefully the next thing they have to lock up Russell Wilson, obviously. That's what I was curious about. They have enough money to kind of handle that as well. But just a great story, Rob, of perseverance, and it's good to see that he's doing some things for sure, Rob.
Yeah, and he's a very smart individual as well. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, a lot was said about the comments he made after the game. That's just in the heat of the battle. But Richard Sherman is a very smart individual. You don't get to Stanford without being smart, number one. But, yes, a very smart guy and very good football player as well.
Well, we've done it. We've handled all the other business. Now let's talk about the draft, Rob. We got about 10 minutes to dive right into this. Rob, I think you're on mock draft, what, 5.72? No, I don't know. this is exciting, and I think I told you this last week or maybe in the pregame talk for our pregame meeting, and I was telling you that if we had the draft the way that we originally liked it, it would have been like the last week of April. I would have locked myself in a hole and just had 2 days of draft coverage. I'm not 100% okay with the new format just yet. Maybe we'll move it back. I love having it on 2 days. That's just me. And I think this extra week is too much, Rob. It's just too much, you know. And that's just me. I mean, I would definitely love to hear your opinions about this. But now, you know, everyone's throwing smoke screens. Who knows what's happening? There hasn't really been any deals that we've heard about for the number one pick. So this can mean anything, in my opinion, Rob. And I love to hear how you were putting together your last mock draft and to see where we're coming to, because as you know, it could be anything. There's no guarantees, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I like to stress, you know, to our listeners that have seen any of my mock drafts, it's not necessarily me predicting what the teams are going to do. It's more so doing a draft based on if I was the GM of the teams. This is the direction I will go as far as the picking is concerned. So it doesn't necessarily mean that this is who I think the teams are going to take, but more of a decision if I was picking for the teams based on what's available. This is who I would pick for them. So just want to get that out there as well. But, you know, it's going to be crazy. I think the night of the draft, we're going to see a lot of trades. And that's the thing that's so hard to predict when you're doing mock drafts is how the trades are going to work out. So you're basically doing a mock draft based on what the teams are currently picking. And so you don't know how the aspect of trades are going to go. And based on what I'm hearing, if Houston keeps the number one pick, it will be Clowney. But they still would like to move down and get more picks. And so we'll have to see if they can find a trade partner. Same thing with St. Louis. I mean, from my sources, they would probably go with Greg Robinson with the number two pick, but they would like to trade down. And if Clowney is still available at number two, watch your Atlanta Falcons try to go up to number two to get him. And they won't trade up for number one to get him, but if he's somehow still available at two, then Thomas Dimitroff is prepared to make an offer to move up to number two to go and get Clowney if he's there at the number two position. So that should be interesting as well. Jacksonville, you know, looks as though Sammy Watkins may be their guy. Justin Blackman's probably going to be suspended for the whole season. So that's going to be interesting as well. I know in my mock draft, I believe they should go with a quarterback, but it looks like they're going to go with the receiver here and try to wait on the quarterback. And I think when Cleveland gets on the clock, this is where it gets interesting. Yeah, if you listen to some insiders, you know, there's quite a few out there that are saying they will draft Manziel, and there's one in particular says that they will not draft Manziel. So I think that's when the draft will really start getting interesting, when the Cleveland Browns is on the clock. In my mock, I have them taking Johnny Manziel at the number four position.
Real quick, Rob, any smoke or anything about the Cowboys making a move for Johnny Manziel?
No, that's not going to happen. The Cowboys would not. I would be shocked, even though I have them taking a quarterback in the second round as of right now. The way it looks right now, I'll be shocked if they take a quarterback in the first three rounds. They may invest the pick on a quarterback, but I think at this point it's going to be fourth round or later. I mean, I have them taking Jimmy Garoppolo from Eastern Illinois in the second round as we speak.
Garoppolo, I'm thinking of? Yeah, I got you. Okay. Or I'm thinking of a different guy. Never mind. Okay, I got you. I thought they were going to try to go with Sean Payton's alma mater guy. But keep it moving, Rob, if I'm thinking of the same guy. But go ahead. I got you.
Yep, it is the same guy, Eastern Illinois.
Okay, cool. Keep it moving, Ty. I mean to cut you off. You're good. Hope Rob's still with us here. Hope he didn't drop off.
I'm still here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my bad. I thought you were going to say. Let's talk about you were still moving along here. So you had Cleveland taking Johnny Manziel. I'm sorry. Is that who you said for Cleveland? If I missed that, is that correct?
That's who I have on my mock draft at the moment. So it's going to be real interesting. Number 5, I have Oakland going with Greg Robinson in my personal mock draft. Even though it looked like the Rams looks like they're gung ho and taking them at the number 2 position. But if I'm the Rams, I will go with Sammy Watkins, get another playmaker for the quarterback here. But Greg Robinson doesn't look like – I don't think Oakland is going to take a QB in his first round. They're going to wait and try to look into some later rounds in the draft and see if they can get a quarterback then. They're going to try to buy some time with Matt Schaub at the quarterback position.
Rob, I do want to take a step back, Rob, real quick, and I apologize, because whenever we're talking about Cleveland and Johnny Manziel, I do know they actually signed some one-year deals to Vince Young as well as Thigpen here. That has nothing to do with the possible drafting of another quarterback. Are they trying to get competition? What do you think about those interesting moves that they did make? I thought that leans towards them kind of going a different direction, but you still think this is a quarterback in this particular move?
I think they're going to draft a quarterback in this draft. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
And if they don't go Manziel at 4, watch for them to get Teddy Bridgewater later in the first round at number 26. So that's a thought as well. If Bridgewater's there at that spot, they will draft a quarterback in this draft.
Wow. Love it. So you got Oakland trying to stay away, getting, like I said, Greg Robinson. I'm not sure what to think about at 6. If we're still there as a Falcons fan, you have us taking Khalil Mack in your final mock. I think is outstanding. If we came out with Mack, Robinson, Matthews, and or Clowney, I think I'll be happy with any of those picks.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, like I said, this is the way my mock is set up is based on who I would pick if I was these teams. But I think realistically, if you're a Falcon fan, I think you should expect to get a player like Jake Matthews in this spot here. That's who I think it's going to be the pick, Khalil Mack. Believe it or not, I think Houston is about 80% sold on Clowney and 20% sold on Khalil Mack at the number 2 spot. Oh, I'm sorry, at the number 1 spot. They are considering one of those two players with the number 2 with the number 1 pick. So that's going to be interesting as well. So outside of Clowney, I think Houston is definitely looking at a defensive player in Clowney or Mack with the number 1 pick, and I think in the end it's going to wind up being Clowney. So Mack will still be on the board.
I don't know if Clowney fits their needs, Rob. I don't think he's – I mean, I know he can play a little bit of a little stand-up outside position, but I'm just curious. I mean, I know he can fit in different systems, but I'm curious about – that particular move, too. But, it is what it is. Number 7, you got Tampa Bay. You got them taking a quarterback in your final mock, Blake Bortles. He stays right home in Florida with this particular move, Rob.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Blake Bortles still has a lot of upside with some good coaching in the NFL. And Tampa Bay obviously has Josh McCown, but still may feel like they need a quarterback for the future. And, there's a lot of, rumors going on about them being interested in Manziel. We still don't know if that's a smokescreen or not. But at this point, I expect Tampa to either wind up with Bortles or Manziel in this draft.
We got about 60 seconds, Rob. Can you go ahead and set up the OT portion? We're going to keep talking mock draft as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, you want to catch the rest of this OT portion. We're going to be talking about more mock draft coverage here. Tune in tomorrow to get your last updates prior to the draft tomorrow night. So make sure you click on the same link and get our draft info prior to the draft tomorrow night. Otherwise, catch us live again on next Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, and that will be 5 p.m. Hawaii. Aloha. Catch our OT portion on tomorrow. Good night, people.
Good night, people. I know we keep it moving, talking draft stuff. I'm just excited, Rob. It's finally here. Man, it's just too much.
That's a long way to say that.
it seems like that last week, you know, like we talked about, I think it's too much time. But we'll talk more about that in the OT portion. Thank you for listening. As always, give us your thoughts, give us your feedback, and we'll keep moving. We'll see how accurate those marks are. Good night, people. All right. We are officially into the OT portion of the show. If you are listening, we appreciate you listening to the show. Obviously not live, but and I guess we always talk about these picks, and we've been going back and forth. And I guess not to – I'm trying to think of a different angle, Rob, because, you know, this has been one of those drafts like we talked about. It's a really, really deep draft. There's probably 100 extra juniors or underclassmen, that are able to enter the draft. I mean, there's going to be a lot of players going to be undrafted free agents. There's a lot of depth. You talked about positions and how there's a lot of key positions that are exceptional. Sammy Watkins, explosive wide receiver. Next guy off the board is Mike Evans, the wide receiver for Texas A&M going to Minnesota. Is this a good move? Is this another smoke screen? Does Minnesota have a quarterback is the question that I would like to ask you in this particular instance too.
Well, obviously, I don't think they're happy with the quarterback situation at the moment. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can get that guy at some point in this draft. But at the moment, they still need help at the quarterback position. And we'll see if they wind up getting one in this draft. I don't think they're going to wind up one with the first round, though.
Fran Tarkenton is not walking through that door, Rob?
He's not walking through that door.
Let's talk about Buffalo. Jake Matthews is there for the taking. And I guess the word on the street, if he falls this far, man, that would be amazing to me. If I'm the Falcons, man, I'm trying to draft up to get this guy too. But you know, tell us about this move if Khalil Mack happens in that particular instance too. They just kind of look into getting a great player, Rob, 10-year player.
Yeah, Jake Matthews is going to go somewhere between 6 and number 9. Either he'll go as high as Atlanta, or he definitely won't get past Buffalo. If he's still on the board. And, you know, I think a lot's going to depend on where these quarterbacks go. You know, and I think this is such a strong positional draft that it's hard to predict where these quarterbacks going to go. And you can see quite a few teams, and this wouldn't be a surprise to me, if the first 10 picks in this draft, they will bypass the quarterbacks. And that could happen. And that wouldn't surprise me because the positional talent in this draft is so strong. Teams may have higher grades with these players over quarterbacks. You may not see a quarterback go in the top 10 in this draft.
Do you think there's going to be any surprises? If you could predict a surprise, I know you picked it how you would be a GM, but do you think there's going to be if you would pick this is going to be a surprise move, You know, what would you say? I mean, surprise, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I'm going to say that the Rams are going to pick a quarterback early. That's going to be the surprise, and that's going to throw everything off. But do you think there's going to be – if you would make a prediction as far as this is going to be a surprise move, what would that be, if you will?
I think if the Lions somehow get in top 5 of this draft and get Sammy Watkins,
I agree for
that.
Yep.
And that would be a major move. And when you look at this offensive football team, you know, you hope that you can resurrect Matthew Stafford, and you add a Sammy Watkins to a Kelvin Johnson, to a Reggie Bush. You got an explosive football team right there, a Golden Tate, and you got an offensive team that could conceivably be the most potent offense in the National Football League.
Let's talk about risers and fallers. I know we've heard that term, stock. If you will, this is a falling player. This is a rising player. A player that I'm hearing a lot about is Anthony Barr. He's kind of dropping, which is very, very surprising because before it was like Barr and Mac were pretty comparable. Now it seems like, Rob, there's definitely little differences as far as maybe Barr may be dropping. What do you think about this? Are any of the players that you think are dropping or kind of rising as well?
Well, Barr, I think he's still somewhere in that 9 to 13 range. I still see him getting picked somewhere in that area. Right now I have them going 11 to Tennessee. I could, if Detroit stays at number 10, that's another option for him as well. I think he still goes somewhere in that ballpark. He's a great physical talent. He's got a lot of upside. And so you got to, you just got to, you know, get a team that has a vision for a skill set and see if they can get more out of him.
Love it, love it, love it. Now, just kind of talking about other things, too, and I didn't want to throw you off the marks here because, you know, obviously I just want to kind of throw some different things, too, as far as what we're looking at. There's certain players that we call perfect fits for the team, and is that how you did the final mock draft, like a perfect fit as far as this player matches exactly what the team is looking for? Can you give me a couple examples of perfect fits in this particular instance as well, too? You don't have to, you know, kind of highlight a couple teams that you think this is like a match made in heaven, Key Meek's lot, if you will.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Aaron Donald, defensive tackle for Pittsburgh, this is a guy, you're talking about a riser. He's a riser, could easily get into the top 10 in this draft. And I think for a team that plays a cover two defense, he's a perfect three technique pass rush tackle. You know, I'm sure Tampa Bay and Lovie Smith, if they don't go with a quarterback there, they could be salivating over Aaron Donald. Right now I have him going to Chicago. Even though Lovie Smith's not there, they still play that cover two scheme on defense. You're talking about a perfect fit. I mean, like I said, he would be the perfect fit for any defensive football team that's running a cover two system. Aaron Donald can get after the quarterback, and you don't have to blitz, and that's the perfect setup for a team that runs that cover two defense. His stock is, he's probably one of the fastest risers at the moment in this draft, and could easily get into the top 10.
Love it. A couple of these picks, too, unless you want to highlight a couple of things, I do want to mention a quick situation. We always say in the first round for some reason, but that's okay. Both of your drafts, you seem to have Arizona taking a quarterback, whether we had the surprise of Johnny Manziel drop, and now you have them taking Derek Carr. Are you trying to say that Arizona has a problem with the quarterback position, Rob?
Well, I think they're going to try to get another year or so out of Carson Palmer, but I think they're, you know, looking to stabilize that position long term. And I think Bruce Arians and Derek Carr, you're talking about a perfect fit. Derek Carr might have the strongest arm of any quarterback in this draft. Bruce Arians is the type of, he likes to run that stretch passing game, vertical passing game. David Carr could be the perfect quarterback for Bruce Arians for the future.
Derek Carr, you mean? You're thinking of his brother there. But I got you.
Yeah, Derek Carr, yes. Yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. I like it, and I'm not. And it's interesting because David had a lot of things to help out Derek in this particular thing, instance. We're talking about that too. I was reading something whenever we're talking about quarterbacks, Rob, that if Manziel gets drafted in the first round, he's going to be like, I think the first player that's like less than 6 foot since like 1950, something crazy like that too. So the quarterbacks.
Wow.
This is an interesting draft, to say the least, because I think you nailed it on the head earlier, Rob. You said there's not a lot of we don't know if there's a franchise quarterback out there just yet, because there's not right now on paper, there's not an Andrew Luck, RG3, a Peyton Manning. But whenever we were looking at a lot of the scouts, Rob, they said all these quarterbacks have warts. You know, there's certain things that, you know, he does this pretty well, but then he may not have this intangible. But they don't want to be the guy that missed, you know. Everybody missed on a couple of quarterbacks. They missed on a Tom Brady. They missed on Russell Wilson, you know. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that they're just not sure as far as what's going to happen. And that's why this is an exciting draft, because you said it. We don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to be quarterbacks? Is it going to be running quarterbacks? Is it going to be running this? That's the next thing I want to ask you, too, if you want to comment on the quarterbacks. What position do you think there's going to be a run on at some point? And I think that run may be on wide receiver, because that's a deep draft, and we're going to see like a lot of wide receivers are going to go pretty quickly, Rob.
Hey, wide receivers and corners, I think those are going to be the two positions that you're going to see a good run in the first round. I think they're probably the two strongest positions in the draft, and you're going to see a lot of those guys go here in the first round. When you look at the wide receiver position, you have Sammy Watkins. You have Mike Evans, Odell Beckham Jr. solidifying himself as the third receiver in this draft. And then you have Marquise Lee. You have Brandon Cooks. Cody Latimer is another one that could really sneak into the first round, wide receiver from Indiana. I think Kelvin Benjamin, even though I got him a late second-round pick at the moment, there could be a few teams that are still high on him. And then you look at the cornerback position. You have Justin Gilbert, Darquez Dennard, Kyle Fuller, and you also have Bradley Roby. And you never know, even though Jason Verrett, I have him at the top of the second, he can easily sneak into the first round as well.
I got to give you a lot of props, Rob. It does seem interesting in that USA Today has a very similar draft to what you have drafted. So I'm not saying that somebody's biting off of you, man. That's pretty impressive that they went this direction. I mean, it looks pretty accurate. You know, they've got a couple of switches here and there, but just something to think about. They've got Minnesota taking the quarterback, and which is interesting too. But you talk about making a run on wide receivers. Is that the deepest position in the draft, or is it quarterback? What do you think is the deepest position? We got about 4 minutes left in the show too, as well.
I think it's close between those two, but I am going to say wide receivers maybe slightly ahead of corners. But I think they're definitely the two deepest positions in this draft, wide receivers and the cornerback position. They are by far, I think, the two deepest positions in this draft.
And, let's go with some love to your Saints. You think they're definitely kind of high on Ryan Shazier, the outside linebacker from Ohio State?
Well, absolutely. I think if you're the New Orleans Saints, historically, Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton, they like to go with the best player available here. And, Shazier could be another outside linebacker, pass rusher that they can put opposite of Junior Gallette. And, of course, you got a big Cam Jordan as well. So I can easily see them going with a pass rusher here at the outside linebacker position. I can easily see them going corner. I can easily see them going wide receiver here. I definitely think if you're the New Orleans Saints, expect one of those three positions with your first-round pick.
I do want to highlight, I want to show some love to, I've got a huge fan, Rob, he's a Dolphins fan. And surprisingly, there's a couple of things I want to talk about because you've got them taking Coney Ealy, the outside linebacker, defensive end from Missouri. What happened to their number one pick last year? Number third overall, it's slipping my mind. Explosive guy from Oregon, Deion Jordan. It seems like he's almost like a clone of this particular player. What does this mean? And that's instant. You got them drafting another outside linebacker, pass rusher for the Dolphins. And this is for Jimmy. A lot of love for Jimmy out there, by the way.
Well, obviously, you can never have enough pass rushers here. In that 3-4 defense, you like to have about three or four guys that can get after the quarterback. So, obviously, you're still expecting great things out of Deion Jordan, but you don't expect him to do it alone. You're going to need to get him some help. And so Coney Ealy, of course, is a guy that had a successful career in Missouri. He was able to beat double teams consistently. And so this is a guy that can definitely help that Miami defense.
Let's talk about we got 2 minutes left. Let's talk real briefly about our Super Bowl teams. The Denver Broncos, you got them taking Cyrus Quandjo, the outside, offensive tackle from Alabama. I want you to comment on that. And you got Seattle taking Rashid Hageman. That would almost be like unfair if they get like another defensive end. Tell us about those particular picks as we get ready to wrap up the show. We got a minute, as a matter of fact, real quick.
Well, if you're Denver, you got to continue to protect your investment. In Seattle, well, they pounded Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl, and so you got to find ways to protect them.
Nice.
And you lost your big offensive tackle this year, so you got to have some depth on an offensive line. I think in Seattle, you just keep drafting the best players available, and that's what they do here, and they add some depth to their defensive line.
Gotcha. Once again, we thank you so much, Rob. Good job with mock drafts. Tomorrow it's on. We're going to recap the draft next week. Rob, we got a minute. I'll let you go ahead and do your thing as we get ready to wrap up the show.
tell you what, people, we can talk about this draft all night long. Sorry we don't have any more time. But definitely catch our recap show on next Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian. You don't want to miss it. We're giving out draft grades. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Thanks, Rob.